Log Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I love that intro. Never gets old.
Dre got his Golden State jersey on.
Had to represent because Curry did his thing.
I know Steph Curry.
That's right. Rob is representing, who's that, AI? Who you got?
Old school Allen Iverson jersey.
Allen Iverson, there it is. Okay, I thought you were representing, Larry Hughes or something like that. I don't know.
Larry Hughes. Mark Iveroni.
Wow, not Larry Hughes. Yeah, y'all
Oh, we're just having fun here. I think I got Curtis in as well, too. So, again, welcome to Talking Sports the 12th Man. We thought we were going to have the original crew. Curtis, is that you? Were you able to pop in?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nice. All right, good deal. We'll get everyone started, get everyone settled. Got a lot of things to discuss. As always, we're missing Gary, but Curtis will fill in for the East and the West Coast. We got everything covered from that side. Man, gentlemen, it's crazy how this year has flown by, and obviously in the spirit of that, we're going to reflect and thank you for an amazing year as we get ready to just, man, it's flying by. But let's get this party started. Let's check in. I know we're kind of waiting for JQ to get settled, get the Bluetooth on, and get the
house,
so I'm going to kick it out to Rob and see how Rob's doing this evening. Sir, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, doing great, man. No complaints. Ready to get this party started for our special Thursday night edition this week.
That is correct. Curtis, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm watching it, too. And I think the Chiefs are my pick to go to the Super Bowl.
The Chiefs are the Super Bowl? Okay.
Yeah.
Firing.
Coming out of the
what if it's Patriots-Bucks? Oh, what if it's Patriots-Bucks? What are we going to do? Patriots-Bucks, what are we going to do? What if that happens?
Now we're
going to cry. Yeah. we're going to literally cry.
I'm not wishing for that. I just thought that, oh, man, we'll see. Yeah, definitely the Chiefs are on a little trajectory right now. They're having definitely more of a defensive battle right now. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes did some things coming back. It's been a very interesting game. JQ, I think that you're getting subtle. You want to check in and see how you're doing this evening, man?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear. I guess you're just getting loaded on the screen. But yeah, how you feeling this evening, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How you guys doing? So sorry, I was running trying to get back to the house. I forgot the number. Is it 807-808-9239?
That's it.
Okay.
That is it. That is it. We're going to let JQ in, and like he says, always, we got a lot of things to discuss, man. And I know, you know, Rob was making jokes about where I was at. I was actually flying back from Jackson, Mississippi, which is apparently, according to Rob, Fresno, California.
That's the Fresno, California of the South.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. And so we got a lot of things to discuss, too, because I know we're going to talk about, you know, Deion Sanders and just the amazing stuff, because in Jackson, Mississippi, gentlemen, you have no idea how big that is. I mean, literally – it was just the whole talk of everything. And obviously I'm a digital media strategist in my real life, and it was kind of cool to travel to the station to get some love. And just that was just kind of like the talk of the town too, man. So we'll talk about that. But we got a lot of things to get into. Number one, your boy getting fired at midnight, Urban Meyer, is out at Jacksonville. And again, I think that we kind of saw this coming, but we didn't see it coming that fast, I would say. There's a couple of things that you're like, man, Urban, what you doing, man? And, you know, obviously they kind of pulled the plug, and 13 games in. So I'm going to start off with with you, JQ, your thoughts. And I can't wait to hear Rob, too, because, you know, Rob is actually in Florida, so I'm sure there's some interesting things happening. They're probably not crying, and then obviously we'll wrap it up with Curtis. But, yeah, JQ, that's your boy from Ohio State, you know, Florida, Utah. He's apparently a winner, but he's not a winner in the NFL, man. So what say you on the amazing saga of one Urban Meyer, if you will?
Well, I tell you what, I always love that dude. He got some national championship. I love him forever. But you can't take that. You saw what happened with Nick Saban in Miami. You can't take that college stuff down there with grown men, bro. And with assistants who are also grown and have been established, have been in the NFL before you even got into the NFL. You call them losers and ask them to tell you what they've won because you won this, that, and the other, but not at the NFL level, kicking kickers and getting to it with wide receivers, like, you know, that's just too much. So when all the stories came out, I was like, yeah, he's on borrowed time. I figured they were going to wait to the end of the year, but now they give themselves a chance to have first dibs of whatever, you know, coaches come free that they want their pickup, and you got, you know, Trevor Lawrence, who everybody's really high on. You're going to get ATN back. So they got a few pieces. Don't get me wrong. They got to fill out that roster for sure.
Right.
But by going ahead and pulling the plug, you give yourself a chance to get a jump start on other teams because you know they're going to be other fires. But when you do it first, you go through this first media cycle of having everybody talk crazy about you, but then you can get settled in on who you want. But you can't have that much smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And that dude just had way too much happening in his life. So NFL's not for everybody. Nick Saban is the greatest college coach we have ever seen. But I don't know if you heard that story about him when he was walking down the hall and a dude had, like, fallen out, like, had a seizure in the hallway in Miami, and Nick Saban looked down at him and stepped right over him and kept going. And that was the year they fired Nick Saban. I was like, come on, Nick. So it goes to tell you, all great college coaches don't always make it to the NFL. Some do, some don't. And it is what it is. What happened now, he might be done with college, too. He might just go back to Fox permanently because you just can't. What he had happen is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I think Urban's got to be done coaching, period. I mean, when you make a comment like telling his assistant coaches, I had better assistant coaches at Bowling Green. I mean, come on, you're in the NFL now. You telling dudes I had better assistant coaches at Bowling Green? Not Florida. Not Ohio State. Not even Utah. Bowling Green. I mean, we're not talking the SEC in Florida. We're not talking about the Big Ten in Ohio State. We're not talking about the Pac-12 in Utah. Bowling Green, I don't even know what conference they're in, Ohio Valley or something like that.
I mean, oh, my God.
The MAC, okay. Yeah, I had better assistant coaches at Bowling Green than I have here. Come on, man. You know, he came with that bully mentality, and just like JQ mentioned, that does not work at the NFL level, not one bit. I mean, you got to treat these guys like men, and, you know, once you get to the NFL level, I mean, these guys are not kids anymore. I mean, you can't be kicking players and things of that nature. And, his approach just totally did not work. And I personally don't think anybody gives him a shot. I mean, I would be shocked if he's coaching again. Kind of similar to John Gruden. Well, maybe not as bad as John Gruden's situation.
Yeah, come on, man. It's not that bad.
But, yeah.
Bobby Petrino had an opportunity. He's at, Missouri State. You never know. There's always some school out there that may.
There will be a college that will give him a chance because of his name. And if they suck, they'll give him a chance. It has to work its way back up. But NFL is over.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, there were owners that wanted now, you know, and he probably didn't have that many time to leave. And so a big booster and being the king of the campus, being the king of the state, you got to deal with a rich owner. I'm sure he wasn't wired for him. But it was a surprise to me. But also, the team wasn't getting any better also.
Right.
started off a little better than what they're ending up. All the missteps. And I heard that you didn't get on the bus with him one game. You went by private jet, not with his team. So, yeah, he's not built for that. He's not built to be an NFL coach.
Yeah. But if you guys recall, when they announced this hire, I said from the beginning, I just don't see him working on the NFL level. I just didn't see it. I didn't see him performing on the NFL level. They're going to have to look at a real serious offensive mind to come in there. I mean, you still got a talent in Trevor Lawrence. You got to come in there and get a good offensive mind. You know, Josh McDaniels, is he willing to leave New England? I mean, they might have a deal with New England. Might have a deal and say, Josh, hey, you're going to take over when Bill Belichick retires. I mean, Bill Belichick is in his late 60s. He's knocking on 70 right now, so that could be soon. And, you know, do you go after Josh McDaniels? Do you go after Eric Bieniemy? Somebody, you know, of that caliber. You're going to have to get a serious offensive mind to come in there and see what you can do with Trevor Lawrence. That's just going to, when you got a quarterback with that kind of talent, or Doug Peterson, you know, he won the Super Bowl with the Eagles. You go out and try to get somebody like him. Won the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. He'll be another guy you give a good look to. But you're going to have to go and get an offensive-minded head coach to come in there and coach Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, just like I said it from the beginning, I didn't think Urban Meyer would translate to the NFL well.
Yeah. Yep.
Good stuff. Yeah, I think I remember you definitely calling that too, Rob. I think we were kind of shocked about it because you'd heard some, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. You knew that dude was going to be bad whenever you brought your boy Tim Depot. I mean, he was just like, man, come on, man. What are you doing, man? So, you know, Urban Meyer was trying to figure out, like, what the French toast he was doing. We had some pictures. But, yeah, at this juncture, I think that's going to we can kind of skip into, like, some coaching. I think, Rob, are those the main people that we're thinking as far as – I don't know if JQ, Curtis, you want to talk about the main people that we're thinking about, you know, replacing Urban Meyer. I think, you know, obviously I agree with you 1,000% that you have to be an offensive mind because you do have that talent with Trevor Lawrence. Obviously you have Travis, you know, Etienne, even though he's, you know, out for the season. You got a lot of weapons. You know, obviously it's a good situation. Trip Baalke used to be over San Francisco and the Seahawks. He's there with Darrell Bevell. So, again, you kind of have that tie, but they, again, have to – right now, listen to more defense, but they definitely need an offensive mind to open up that offense because you got that talent. You got to make it work. Anything else, JQ, think about some coaches? I like, you know, the enemy. Hopefully he'll get a shot. I don't think Josh McDaniels ever leaving Rob, but what say you guys? Anything else you think about that, JQ?
But the thing about McDaniels is, does he get tired of being impatient? But listen, given what's going on down there, unless I'm just desperate to be a head coach in the NFL, but if I feel like I got a chance to have some kind of longevity, I don't want that job right now. Go ahead and let that dude have it because I don't want to have it and get fired after 3 years and be 7-25 as my head coaching record.
Oh,
and then I
got
to take that record into my next job interview to try to get another one. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I think I might wait.
Jeff Fisher's always available. Remember that. Jeff Fisher's always available.
Stop it.
That dude is terrible. That dude got the worst losing percentage.
I think the NFL is cast by Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, that was a new joke. That dude is one of the worst coaches ever, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Curtis. Go ahead.
I mean, it's not for long in the NFL. Can't be acting a fool. You gotta, you know, it's a lot more to coaching. And we're learning that on Hard Knocks. And I'm really enjoying that Hard Knocks and seeing that coach with the coach. And he's been there. He's done that. He's been a pro. He's been a backup. He knows how to treat men. And I'm enjoying that Hard Knocks seeing what you do as a coach, and then watching Urban Meyer and seeing what you don't do.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate too. Let's get to these predictions right now. I think
another name to throw out is Joe Lombardi. Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, even looking at this game and seeing what he's done with Justin Herbert. You know, that's going to be another sleeper name for a head coaching job with Jacksonville here. You know, they're going to have to get an offensive-minded head coach. You have to when you got a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. If that's who you're going to build your franchise around, they're going to have to find an offensive-minded head coach. And that could be another sleeper name here, Joe Lombardi.
Nice. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's get to these NFL predictions really quickly. Let's talk about the current game, Chiefs and the Chargers. A lot of the pundits predicted the Chiefs just to kind of like blow out the Chargers, but it's definitely not happening that right now. It's been a pretty really good game. Competitive-wise, obviously, what say you about to, I think, looks like, again, Curtis has already said that the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl or be the representative in the Super Bowl, excuse me. So did you have them winning this game, Curtis, as well, or no?
Well, I believe in them. Even if they lose this game, they're going to get their act together, and they're going to be in that Super Bowl. One thing that L.A. doesn't have, they do not have a defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. They really can't. It's awful. I don't trust them in a tight spot. So.
Bosa.
They're going to win this division. They're going to win this game, believe it or not. And they're going to go all the way. It was a tough division, but they're going to win it, and they're going all the way.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, when I put this game on the topic, it did dawn on me that the game would be just about over. So it's kind of hard for us to really make a prediction right now when the game is about over. But, hey, it looks like the Chiefs are about to tie this thing up. We might have an overtime, but there's still plenty of time left for the Chargers to go down and either kick a field goal or win it with a touchdown. But Travis Kelce just caught a touchdown. Pending the extra point here, we could have a tie on our hands here. Looks like we're going to have a really good finish in this game here. As this is the first place in the division. You know, Chargers won the first game in Kansas City. So if they win this game, even though they have similar records, Chargers should be in first place. But for the Chiefs, this is really huge. They can go up by two games in the division with a win here.
I thought the Chiefs would win it, and the reason why I thought the Chiefs would win is because the Chargers beat them earlier, and they just don't want to be swept. And like you said, you'd be able to go up two games, but now if they lose and you tie, they have a commanding tiebreaker advantage. So I was shocked that it went this way, but the Chargers shouldn't even be in this position. This is just ridiculous. I understand being aggressive, but what Staley has done with the Chargers, I mean, they've left at least 9 points on the board by just being hard hit, right? Take the field goal, bro. Take the points.
Both teams, really.
Ball games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, both teams are left points on the field, but you're right. The Chargers have left more, though.
Yes.
Right now, the Chargers have put this game on their defense. And
yeah.
If Justin Herbert can get some yards and kick that field goal, that's doomsday. But, yeah, put it on your defense. Let's see what kind of defense. Is this a Super Bowl defense?
I need a Patrick Mahomes to throw four touchdowns. Appreciate you, Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead, Curtis. Sorry.
I was going to say, or the defense get a takeaway and let Patrick Mahomes get into win this game. The game's not over yet.
Again, like you said, I think they called it earlier. The Chargers are without Rashawn Slater, the outside rookie, and then the Chiefs are without Chris Jones, so the defensive tackle. So right now, it's a win for Chargers because Chris Jones is very disruptive too, man. So that's just a situation where they've been playing well defensively too. So kudos right now for that, too. The Chargers are taking advantage of the situation. Let's give some love to the next game here. We got the Patriots and the Colts. We were making fun of Rob whenever he picked the Colts a couple times, right? Were you picking the Colts a couple times in this instance? Were you always earlier in a couple of situations, or were you always going Patriots, Rob?
Hey, you know, I know I picked the Bucks a few weeks ago, and you know, and actually, if the Colts were at home against the Bucks, I'll pick the Colts again because the Colts really beat themselves. If you really watch that game, the Colts beat themselves in that game. It wasn't nothing that the Bucs did. I mean, this Colts is a real sleeper team, and they've been running the ball down people's throat. And I'm going to pick them to beat the Patriots at home this weekend. I'm going to pick the Colts to win this game against the Patriots. To me, they're a team that I don't think anybody wants to play if they make it in the playoffs. Jonathan Taylor and that offensive line.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor has been lighting it up, man. Really, really great pick, man. What say you, JQ? You still with us, man? Okay.
Yeah, I got to go, though. Cool. I had some pop-off words that people are pinging me about. I'll leave with this. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I just don't like what I just don't trust Carson Wentz. And he's always do something stupid. Bill Belichick is going to do something to mess with him. And I feel like he's going to lose the game for no reason, but for no other reason than that. So I'm going with the Patriots until somebody knocks him off. We'll see. But gotcha. I'm sorry, y'all. I got to run. It's not my plan, but my phone is blowing up. The computer's blowing up over here, so I got to roll.
Okay, do what you got to do, man. We'll talk soon, man. Appreciate you, man.
No problem, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think Carson Wentz is going to do stuff that stupid. You see that a lot of fans are wearing that shirt and that hat that says, run the damn ball. And that's the record that Carson Wentz. Run the damn ball. But I'm picking the Colts. And I think the Colts are going to win by 8 points, 28-20. I'm picking the Colts.
Okay. So this is in spite of the love affair with Mac Jones and everything like that, Rob Curtis, huh? Everyone's been loving Mac Jones and what he's been doing too. So, you know, like you said, it's tough, man, because, you know, you definitely hope Carson doesn't make any mistakes, but I do agree with you, Rob. They're a sleeper team here, so I'm going with the Colts as well. It sucks that we don't get a chance to let JQ, we didn't get a chance to do the Bengals-Broncos here. Bengals are at the Broncos. Broncos had a tough loss. I think that, you know, obviously the way that Bengals have been playing, Joe Burrow's been playing really well. This is a statement game. They are at Mile High, so it's an interesting situation, too, because you know how teams come into Mile High and can have some challenges. But I'm going to throw it to you. What say you, Rob?
Well, these two teams in the last couple of weeks have headed in an opposite direction. You know, the Bengals at one point were looking really good, but now they've got two straight losses. You know, Joe Burrow doesn't look 100% with that finger issue. And Denver, on the other hand, has been playing outstanding defense. Javonte Williams, running back, has been outstanding for Denver. I like Denver in this home game to beat the Bengals. As much as I hate to say it, because Bengals have kind of become my second favorite team with the LSU players, but I like the way Denver is kind of ascending, and then Bengals seem like they're heading in the wrong direction right now.
I'm gonna say Denver. You know, yeah, Denver's gonna win this game. Tough luck for Cincinnati. But man, that division is still up in the air. Where they're at. They can still win that division. He's lost. But they're coming in, and that's a tough act for a team like Denver that's hungry. Denver's hungry.
Nice. All right, guys, we have our next game, the Tennessee Titans at the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you will. Let's keep this going. Dang, we can't, like, make fun of, JQ and his love for the Steelers here, but we'll start with you, Curtis. We'll see you on this one.
Well, Tennessee, without King Henry, and putting it on Tannehill, that's a little shaky. Pittsburgh, they need to stay in the race because they might be the odd man out, which is hard to say in that division. They can easily be the odd man out in that division. So, at Tannehill, I don't trust him. And it has been just a little bit more. And I trust their defense and their offense to get it done.
Yeah, the Steelers got whooped up by the Vikings, and obviously the Jackson put away, the Titans put away the Jackson with the Jaguars too. So, Rob, what say you on it? You know, Steelers haven't been playing that well either. Go ahead, Rob.
No, you know, I'm going to pick the Steelers. They're going to come into this game as a desperate team. They're at home. Mm-hmm. They desperately need to win. They're in last place in that division in the AFC North. Tennessee is just squeaking by without Derrick Henry. So I'm going to go to Steelers to win this one in a close game. Field goal win, 24-21. Pittsburgh squeaks it out.
Nice. Good call. All right, Rob. We got a division NC. We got an NFC South division rival game, Saints at the Bucks. Did the Saints get some redemption, if you will, or what happens to your favorite QB, Tom Brady? Gary's favorite QB.
Well, I know the Saints beat the Bucks in the first matchup this year, but I think the Saints, even though we beat the Jets this past weekend, I think the Saints are heading in the wrong direction. I think overall, it's got to be a rebuilding year for the Saints, and I'm going to go with the Bucks winning this game at home. I'm going to go Tampa Bay 30, Saints 17.
Chiefs and Chargers going to overtime.
Much as I hate to say it.
Go ahead, Chris. Yeah, that's – yeah. Man, they can still use anybody at quarterback, so stay tuned, Rob. Go ahead, Curtis. What say you on this? They keep losing all the defensive play. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, what game you got?
It's the Saints and the Bucks. Saints and the Bucks. Saints at the Bucks.
Bucks. Tampa Bay. I don't know who's going to come up of the NFC. But Tampa Bay, you could get a repeat of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs and Bucks. And I think they're gearing up. Tom Brady's gearing up for that run. And New Orleans, I'm glad they got Kamara back. But I don't trust Jason Hill to get it done. So I think they may beat that team by 30-20.
Okay. Good stuff. And let's wrap it up with the Packers at the Ravens. This would be another situation, Rob, where teams are going in different directions. The Packers with that great win over the Bears, and, you know, obviously it's hilarious to see how the Packers fans, like, we own you for the Bears. That was hilarious. But, again, the Ravens, you know, again, you got to be – kind of impressive, but also like, man, they're just kind of going, you know, those injuries are starting to catch up and take tolls of them too, man. So go ahead, Rob, on this one.
I'm going to go with the Packers, win this game on the road. Just like you said, you know, I mentioned this, I believe, on last week's show. You know, Bill Parcells is saying you are what your record says you are. But I just don't think Baltimore is as good as their 8-5 record. I really don't. I like Green Bay to go on the road, and I think they win this game by at least 10 points here. I think they pull it out 27-17. Green Bay goes on the road. Aaron Rodgers, an MVP right now.
There it is. First.
I'm also going with Green Bay. Baltimore, that injury team has really worked this season. And
yeah,
they still may win their division. But that's a tough ask. And Green Bay's the other team that is already balling that bye week in the NFC. So they're not playing. And Aaron Rodgers, he does have a chip on his shoulder. He's trying to prove something. And that's dangerous for a team like Baltimore. But Baltimore's going to fight. And I don't see Green Bay probably going to win by maybe three. They'll fight them. Baltimore likes to fight.
Yeah, your best hope is to play keep away, if you will, but we'll see if they got enough for that instance, too, because, you know, again, we talk about, you know, Packers and that pretty explosive offense with Aaron Rodgers, too, so good stuff. We're going to talk briefly about this this interesting topic about COVID hitting the NFL and the NBA hard, and obviously, as you guys have known, that, you know, right now it looks like the NFL, I know, Rob, your favorite commissioner, if you will, seems like he's losing control of what's happening because there's been a lot of players that have been testing positive, you know, and it's kind of like a minute-by-minute situation for you. Hearing, too, this is affecting a lot of squads. You know, as you've probably heard about, like, we even care for Cleveland, but we're going to show them some love. You know, Cleveland, you know, they lost both Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum, and then Nick Mullins is, like, some third-string quarterback they had to sign. He's going to be starting for the Browns. So you have just an interesting situation that's happening in the NFL and the NBA, too. So, Rob, you want to address this and kind of some thoughts about, you know, what can you do to kind of control this?
Well, you know, as soon as we think we're past this thing, you know, it just kind of comes back and rears ugly head, right, this COVID thing, right? And, I mean,
right,
it is running rampant right now in both leagues, NFL, NBA, and the shucks. I left out the NHL and college basketball, too. They're getting it as well. This is, how do we get past this? This Omicron thing, the only good thing about it, even though it's very contagious, it doesn't seem to be, you know, very deadly. It's causing a lot of hospitalization. So that's the only good news from this Omicron variant that we're seeing right now. But, you know, just waiting on, you know, God to heal our land, right? And see what our scientists can
absolutely
do to come up to stop this spread. Like I said, as soon as we think we're past it, and in December, it's just been outrageous seeing the number of the COVID and the number of players that are in COVID protocol in both the NBA and NFL. And, you know, obviously the players' health is most importantly. But, boy, we having to all adjust our fantasy lineups because of this too, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm not even – it's like you can't even, like, field squads. Like, man, I don't even know what's going to happen. I'm pretty much – this is a lost season, man. So, but, you know, like you said, I think ultimately it comes down to the player's health and whatnot too. But I agree with you. It's just been crazy. You know, that is definitely good to know that it's not as contagious – or people, excuse me, are not getting, you know, like you said, hospitalized and things like that to that extent. So that is the definite positive that we can take from this too. Curtis, do you have anything to add to this particular situation?
It's a shame. We got to be careful, all of us, and take care of ourselves. And I think we might be in a world, and it's hard for me to say this.
Wow. Jesus,
you know,
got it. Wow.
With all these things that's killing us, all these things out here. What do you want to do? I ask, it's too bad. And NFL, I know they don't want to cancel any games, but there's, I forget what team it was, they got like 25 people on the COVID list coming into this weekend. That game's going to have to be canceled, I believe.
I agree.
They're going through. I have a day-by-day life. And with this thing, professional sports, it's going to turn into a day-by-day thing, I think, also. But I have no answers to how we get past it.
A lot of people have answers, Curtis. Good job. Yeah, yeah. There you go, Rob, your boy Travis Kelce getting the touchdown.
I see that, man. He's got me 42 points tonight.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Yeah, just to kind of get back to the topic at hand, yeah, I think, Curtis, like you said, we're all kind of searching for answers in that instance too, because I think we kind of went through that stage where I think everyone was on high alert, right? And then we kind of went a little lax, if you will. And now we kind of have to get back into, you know, again, doing the same thing, you know, just kind of being aware of the situation, kind of monitoring what's happening. If you get vaccinated, all that fun stuff, kind of, you know, again, go back to what we're doing before too, because we don't want another situation of things getting shut down. I know we're kind of starving for sports and we need that, but just, you know, again, just kind of lets us know that we still need to be on our guard and make sure that, you know, we're still kind of following protocols and making sure all that stuff happens too. So that's kind of my perspective on that for sure, you know, because, you know, again, no matter how cool it is to see different people get opportunities, we still got to be mindful of, you know, safety first for everyone, you know. Let's let Rob talk about you have some options, Rob. Do you want to talk about the draft? Do you want to say that for next week? Or because, you know, I know you put a lot of work in that too, so I want to let you kind of have that moment. And I do want to spend some time talking about Jacksonville State. Yeah, go ahead. And then we got to talk about some bowl games too, because that's a lot of bowl games. You can push that next week and kind of, you know, get that started too. So you have some options from that as well, sir.
Yeah, I'll go over there. I posted on our Talking Sports for the 12th Man Facebook page. I believe it was over the weekend. I posted an updated top 70. I went ahead and did the top 70. Recently, I was doing the top 32. So obviously, I'm not going to go over all top 70. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Obviously, Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher from Oregon, I still have him number one. Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end from Michigan, who's a Heisman finalist at the number two spot. Evan Neal, offensive lineman, Alabama, number three. Big defensive tackle from Georgia, Jordan Davis, number four. Matt Corral, quarterback, Ole Miss, five. Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame, and number six. Kenny Pickett just officially declared for the draft today. Won't play in the Peach Bowl as he gets ready for the draft. Quarterback from Pittsburgh, have him at number seven. Derek, cornerback, LSU, number nine. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State, 10. Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama, the speedster, number 12, and one of the better linebackers in this draft, Nakobe Dean from Georgia, have him at the number 13 spot. Skip around a little bit, Chris Olave, cornerback, Ohio State, have him in the 18th spot. Another great linebacker to watch, Devin Lloyd. You see him at two phenomenal games against Oregon in both of those games. Linebacker from Utah is at the number Malik Willis, you know, he's going to be one to watch in this bowl game. Quarterback from Liberty, tremendous athlete with a rocket arm. You know, the only doubts on him, you know, is does he have the accuracy, right, which is going to be key for him to show in his bowl game, in his postseason all-star games, the combine, his workouts. But athleticism-wise, he's got all the twos. Right now I have him in the number 24 spot. He could very well move up in his draft. Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas, number 25. Damone Clark, linebacker from LSU, another riser who's really come on strong in these last six games of the season for LSU. He's at the number 28 spot. Carson Strong, quarterback, Nevada, number 31. Offensive tackle from Ohio State, Nick Petit-Ferrier, who JQ asked about last week, have him at number 34. And the tight end to watch in this draft, Jalen Wattemeyer, tight end from Texas A&M, have him at number 36. Brian Robinson Jr., running back, Alabama. Right now I have him as the number one running back in the draft, going 37. As of right now, no running backs in the first round of the draft. So that would definitely be interesting to watch to see. A wide receiver I really like in this draft is Drake London, wide receiver from USC. I have him number 47 right now, but he's about 6'5". The only thing that's keeping him in the second round, you know, right now he's got about 4 or 5 speed. He doesn't have that that burner speed, but he's almost got like Michael Thomas kind of ability. He just catches everything around him. Right now the only thing that's keeping him out of his first round is his speed right now. He doesn't have the blazing speed, but I think he's going to be a phenomenal wide receiver in the NFL. So he's one to watch. Sam Howell, quarterback from North Carolina, at one point was a first rounder. I have him going to the second round now, number 54. Desmond Ridder, quarterback, Cincinnati. You get to watch him in these playoffs. I have him going number 56 overall. Isaiah Spiller, running back from Texas A&M, have him going 58 overall. Chasen Hines, big offensive guard from LSU, going 65. And last but not least, number 70, John Michie III, wide receiver from Alabama. Obviously, he's got a torn ACL. He could very well still move up in this draft. Obviously, coming off this injury, is really going to be determined where he goes in this draft to see how well he improves by draft time.
Good stuff. Anything you want to add to that, Curtis?
I seen the draft order. There's going to be all kinds of trades, I think, in that first round or not. But it's going to be so interesting what direction they go. So that's going to be a fun look, what people think, and see if people can make impact like the Cowboys did. That's with the Parsons.
And Rob, I guess if you're kind of playing the card, unless you know there's an interesting race as far as who's going to be. You got the Lions, and you got the Jags, and you got the Jets. Those are kind of looking right the teams right now. They're going to be kind of in contention for those first couple of picks, if you will, too. So, I mean, if you're the Jaguars, are you kind of like again saying, hey, we're going to go defense, if you will, or you may go Evan Neal to kind of protect that investment of Trevor Lawrence, right? Now, for the Lions, you know, maybe you're looking at, you know, Aiden Hutchinson. You may be kind of going back over to Thibodeau, but, you know, obviously watch Aiden. He's in your backyard. You go with that situation. And then if you're the Jets, you know, maybe you want that explosive pass rusher like, you know, Thibodeau or something like that. So it's kind of interesting to see what happens, if you will, because all those quarterbacks, you know, they got, all of those teams, they got quarterbacks, right? So it's interesting to see what's happening. So now it's kind of a switch as far as now we're going for talent. You know, if I'm the Jaguars, you know, again, I'm like, yo, let's protect our investment right this, you know, so maybe it's Evan Neal, right? You know, that may be me. Hopefully I'm smart enough to figure that out. And then if you're, like I said, Lions and Jags, maybe you're going to go defense. Excuse me. You know, if you're going, if you're the Lions or the Jets, maybe you're going defense. What say you about that, Rob? Am I kind of on the same thought, if you will, or what?
Yeah. At this current rate, if the Lions hold on to that number one pick, I think you got to go with one of the pass rushers, right? Kayvon Thibodeau or Aiden Hutchinson, and take your chances with Jared Goff still, right? So if you're the Lions,
That's tough.
If you're the Jaguars, you're right. With the Jaguars, is going to be – I think with the Jaguars, is going to come down to if they can re-sign Cam Robinson, their best offensive tackle right now. If Cam Robinson, who's going to be a free agent, if he signs somewhere else, then Jacksonville will probably be forced to take Evan Neal. If they can re-sign Cam Robinson, then Jacksonville can possibly go out and get the other pass rusher, right? But I think, you know, the Cam Robinson situation is going to be one to watch again. If they lose him, they almost have to take Evan Neal to protect Trevor Lawrence. You're right. Absolutely right on that. And then when you talk about the Jets, yeah, I think if you're the Jets, you take whichever one that's left, whether it's one of the pass rushers or if it's Evan Neal. Because outside of Mekhi Becton with the Jets still need some help on the offensive line too. And Becton got hurt, of course, this year. So, you know, I think Jets will be happy either way if they can get Evan Neal or get one of those pass rushers. And Houston has to go quarterback. I mean, they can't think that Davis Mills is going to be the answer going forward. So you're probably going to be forced to take Matt Corral at the one at the quarterback spot if you're the Houston Texans right there.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. We appreciate you taking the time, Rob, to put together that amazing list of, you know, prospects and everything like that. Don't forget to check out the Talking Sports Ultimate page about that. Let's get to some fantasy shout-outs, and then I'm going to let Curtis get ready to kind of get your top five teams in college basketball. And we'll get to some I know, Rob, we got some options. Do we want to go through the bowl predictions, or do we want to save that? And then we can talk about winners and losers for the early signing period. I do want to hold off some stuff with Deion Sanders because I wanted to connect with you guys next week when Jeff or JQ gets back, because there's some things about Hugh Jackson we're going to get to. So go ahead.
Yeah, let me get to the fantasy topics here. Okay. So we'll start with the fantasy football shout-out to the week. All right, in league number one, Monsters of the Midway had the biggest win of the week. That's Paul in Atlanta. Beat Andre's team, Straight Cash Homie, 144.94 to 109.52. My team, Death Valley, still in first place at 10-4. In league number two, 23 slam dunk team. That's Ronald from New Orleans. His team had the biggest win of the week, 167.16 to 108.98. JQ's team, the Ohio Players, holding down fourth, first place at 14-0. League number three, my team, Built Four Tough, had the big week, 159.12 to Mark Robinson's team, 41.10. And Chester in New Orleans, his team cracking, 14-0 with the best record in the league. In league number four, man, I got slaughtered. Chester and New Orleans, his team, 18 strong, had the biggest win of the week, beat my team, 196.62, 72.94. Chester's team, 18 strong, in first place with a 10-4 record. And then our fantasy basketball league, Saints Pelicans, 23, had the biggest win of the week. That's Ronald in New Orleans. His win 7-2 over Madhouse on Madison. And Ronald's team, Saints Pelicans 23, is also in first place with a 50-22 record. So those are our fantasy shout out of the weeks. Good competitiveness, especially in fantasy football, as the playoffs are starting this week. Definitely going to be fun here going down the stretch.
I lost a lot of my players, man. LaMelo Ball got hurt. Looks like, you know, my guy Hero's been out. Bogdanovich was out for me. I've been suffering, man. So, but I'm gonna try to at least make a move here. So stay tuned. I figure I had a stranglehold on the basketball side, but you just never know. I've got about 11 minutes left in the show. Hey, Curtis, do you want to talk about the top teams in college basketball?
I'll give it a shot.
Sure. I'm
watching Gonzaga. I'm watching UCLA, and I'm watching Oregon. Because I'm out here at West.
It's a West Coast bias.
I haven't dug in what's going on too much in the East. But those three teams, you got to watch out for them. Especially as the Pac-12, as well as they did in the tournament last year. They're going to build off of that. And they're going to probably try to get the same amount of teams in that tournament this year. So Pac-12 basketball, UCLA, they may be back. And Gonzaga's always there.
Yep.
They're always there. So, and then Oregon. Oregon's won the last three Pac-12 championships. I don't think they're going to win it this year. But they surprise me every year.
See you, Rob.
Well, I got to go Baylor number one right now. Baylor on the defensive end has just been phenomenal. I mean, they're the defending national champs, and they lost just about all of their key players. And, you know, looking at the preseason prognosis on Baylor, nobody even had them in the top 10. But right now, I mean, you got to give Scott Drew a whole lot of credit. What have you mm-hmm. done with that basketball team? I mean, this past Sunday, they held Villanova to like 36 points. And that's not a Colin Gillespie's on that Villanova team. He's back. I mean, that's not a slouch of a team. And Baylor just shut them down on the defensive end and beat them by 20-something points. Very impressive what they're doing, pretty much retooling that roster and still playing at a high level. Purdue, even though they got one loss, they lost on the road to Rutgers. I mean, that 1-2 punch of Travion Williams and Jaden Ivey in the special, they look like the best team in the Big Ten this year. Duke, as much as I hate them, that freshman trio, Paola Panchero, look like he may be the number one or number two pick in this draft. Trevor Keel, mm-hmm. I mean, he was like a tight end, man. 6'4", look like he's a two-speed.
Big dude. Yeah, big dude, big dude. Yeah,
And A.J. Griffin. So I got Duke at number three. I got Gonzaga at number four. Even though they got two losses, I think when they start to gel, I mean, they might have the best 1-2 punch from a big man perspective, and Chet Holmgren and Drew Timmy. And then UCLA, as Curtis just mentioned a little while ago, I still think they could be a sleeper. And they got a lot of talent on their team. Johnny Juzang, Jacquez, and then Peyton Watson, the freshman. They got a lot mm-hmm. of that talent on their team. They can definitely make a run here. I got them at the number five spot right now. But watch Arizona. They are a team that's undefeated. And I think right now they're currently ranked number nine in the country. They're leading the nation in scoring, averaging over 90 points a game. They've had a few games where they scored over 100, and they've scored at least 80 points in every game they've played this season. So Arizona, Tommy Lloyd, who was a longtime assistant coach at Gonzaga, is now the head coach at Arizona, doing a phenomenal job with the Wildcats so far.
Killing it. Yeah, that's number one in admission, too. They're definitely on the rise, like you talked about on the topics, too, Rob. So that's just a great job for Arizona earlier, too. Anything else you want to add to that, Curtis? Because I know we're kind of wrapping this up, if you will, too. We may have to save the predictions for all of those. Rob, you put enough predictions in. So if we do that again, we can shorten the topics because we have more than enough details to talk about all those bulls. It has been going crazy, if you will, too. The roofclaim.com bull. This is crazy, if you will. Radiant Technology Independence bull.
Sometimes it's funny just saying the names of the bulls.
Oh, my God. You know, we kind of missed the Papa John's bowl. We're looking at this Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco bowl. This can't be real, man. Come on.
Famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yeah, that's we've seen that one before. But the like you said, the Cricket Jimmy Celebration
Kimmel
Bowl.
Even
come
got
on,
a bowl.
Man.
The Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl.
L.A. Bowl, yeah. R&L Creators New Orleans Bowl for you and your backyard there, Rob. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, which is pretty—that's not that bad, obviously. But the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl, I mean, come on.
RoofClaim.com, Boca Raton Bowl.
Yeah. Cheer Gator.
Celebration Bowl.
Greeter,
that's what Jackson
Bowl. Yeah. That's probably applicable. Good job, man.
If you want to point out one bowl. The Lending Tree Bowl, Eastern Michigan versus Liberty. South fans,
Malik.
If you haven't seen Malik Willis play, he's going to be a guy to watch, particularly from an NFL draft perspective. You know, if you want to highlight one bowl and to look at one player in particular, you know, the Lending Tree Bowl, Eastern Michigan versus Liberty, and taking a look at Malik Willis, the quarterback in that game there.
We are a Falcon fan. There is a lot of sneaky comparisons to him and Michael Vick, believe it or not. I'm not saying that he's Michael Vick, but I'm saying as far as his athleticism and his talent, if you will, too. So, you know, kind of that exciting type of player, Rob. Do you think that's a pretty accurate assessment so far or what?
Yeah. He's got that kind of athletic ability, and he's got the arm strength. He's definitely got the talent, and he's going to have a lot of NFL scouts here looking at him here over the next few months. To see if he's possibly worth it in the high. I have him number 24 overall right now. You know, I think he's going to stay in the first round. I think if he shines, he has an opportunity to get in the top 10, top 15. He'll definitely still be a first round pick, though.
Interesting. Okay. Gotcha.
We're going to let Curtis talk. I'm sorry.
I don't think he's going to go as high as Trey Lance, though, from San Francisco last year, though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis, you got anything to add to that? Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm having fun with these sports, and I'm having fun with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And, I mean, we got a long season to go. Injuries, COVID, there's all kinds of things that can get in the way.
Mm.
So, stand by to stand by. And let's take it day by day. And let's have fun. That's what I want to add. Let's have fun.
Nice. I think that's a great way to kind of segue to the end, too, because, you know, we were on a couple of conference calls, and one of our VPs said something that kind of, like, stuck because he was like, I know everyone's been ripping and running. It's been an interesting year, but definitely take some time to unplug, disconnect, you know, enjoy time with family because time can be short if you think about it, you know. So just everything that we've been dealing with, you know, with all the COVID, with everything, it's definitely time to kind of unplug. And, you know, obviously we're going to keep an eye on what's happening in the world and sports and everything like that too. But sometimes it's good to, as you said, Curtis, kind of reflect and just, you know, be thankful as far as, you know, things that we've been able to experience and just, you know, hold your family close and kind of cherish those moments too. I know we'll be flying to California next Wednesday, I want to say. I think it's the 22nd. So, again, we'll keep an eye on what's going to happen with the show because, you know, as much as I'd like to fit in on Tuesday night, I may literally have to fly out that, you know, I'll fly to like 8 something crazy, whatever it is. So I'll let you guys know as far as if we'd have to do the show, maybe Monday night may be an option. But just keep your family close, I'd say, too. So and just enjoy these times, too. So what say you, Rob, as we get ready to wrap up this the show here?
Hey, you know, great talking sports with y'all. Another great night. So definitely we'll keep our listeners posted if we're going to roll on Tuesday night, our normal night, or if we're going to move up to Monday night. So definitely be looking forward to listening out for us. Check our Facebook page. We'll keep you posted when our next show is. So we're definitely looking forward to it.
Gotcha. Curtis, you want to say anything? Wrap it up again?
Yeah. I'll talk about that thing that happened in Portland on Saturday last week. Portland something for that to be a revival after all the stuff we've been going through and the bad stuff. And it was the most watched soccer game since 1990.
Wow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize that music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. You know, we're going to be back at you either on Monday or Tuesday night or next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. I'm not going to pick on Fresno tonight. How about Bakersfield, California, right down the road from Fresno? That's the Hattiesburg, Mississippi of California. So, wake up. You should tune in next week, 8 p.m. on next week. Good night, people.
I'm going to try to do JQ's real. Go Chargers. You know, again, we appreciate everyone tuning in. We set it up, too, to say, you know, Rob's been having fun, too. We're going to talk about Jackson again next week as far as what's happening with that. I was there. Jackson, Mississippi was great to kind of hear what's happening on that side, and what Deion Sanders is doing is amazing. We got to talk about the traditional HBCUs are making a comeback, if you will. And we got to talk about these bowls. There's been a lot of movement. We had college football signing day here, kind of early signing day. So we're going to talk about some risers from that and who actually some early winners and losers, if you will, from the signing period. And just kind of what's happening in the landscape of college football, too. But anyway, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Rob, Curtis, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. I apologize. You know, I'm coming back from traveling, so I feel like I've been kind of like, you know, it's been a crazy night too, but appreciate you guys putting up with me and making sure that everything sounds good too. But again, we'll see you guys same channel next week. We'll get the times figured out too, because like I said, again, I'm traveling, so probably maybe better to have it on Monday night, but I'll get with you guys to figure out what works best, make sure it's a good transition into that next week and get ready for the holidays, if you will, too. So that's what I got. But appreciate you guys. Unless you have anything else to say, we'll see you guys next week, right?
Sounds good,
yeah.
Y'all. Good night,
sounds
people.
Like a plan. Represent and have a good one. See you guys same time, same channel next week. Peace.
Good night.